Giver of life, we have not thanked you enough for each breath we can take, each moment we live, each experience we enjoy or endure. We are more likely to complain than to appreciate, to wallow in cries of loss than to pour out joy and gratitude. We rely upon ourselves and keep you out of our lives instead of turning to you daily and trusting your providence. Turn us around, O God. We want to experience the confident joy of living for you. Amen. Let us remain seated and in a spirit of confession as we sing our song of confession, number 2157, Come and Fill Our Hearts, twice through. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old life has gone. The new life has begun. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Thank you.
This is a time in our worship service that we share together our joys and concerns in this community. I would point you this morning to an insert in your bulletin entitled Pray for Schools, which comes out of the house group that is praying about our schools in this house group season. And if we have left the name of your school off of our list, please let us know, either me or Alice Cooper, and or if we have left a teacher off of our list, we definitely apologize for that. But we hope that this will be a resource for you as together we lift up our prayers for schools. Are there prayers this morning to share?
I read my email this morning and discovered that there's a birth to be announced. Soren Oscar Johnson was born to Mike and Rebecca this past week.
On Wednesday. And also Avery Yee in our playgroup study also delivered on Wednesday, so their second child. But we certainly join our prayers for Micah and Rebecca in Minnesota, far off, but still in our hearts. The picture's on the bulletin board in the Hope Room.
Ongoing prayers for my niece, Rebecca. She had her first couple of chemo treatments this week, and so far, so good, but it's definitely early. So thank you for your continued prayers.
Prayers for Rebecca. She's working towards that bone marrow transplant. I'm not sure who you're pointing to here.
Sorry, this is more of an announcement, but if you ordered Auntie Anne's pretzels, they're here, so see me or Jamie after church.
We can turn anything into a prayer. Prayers for the classical sailing team as it gets off the ground. Or in the water.
Helen, prayers for my mom, Agnes Dankwa, who is recovering from panic attack.
Pasifik Natanabindi, from the family that we've been reaching out to as a church, has been interviewed for a 4-year mentoring program through the Matt Light Foundation, and he should hear early this week. And so if we could just pray that if this is the right kind of program for him, that he would get a spot, and if not, that something else would come his way. Thanks.
Great. Thanks.
Prayers for my friend Jonathan, who just lost his dad. His dad died a few days ago, and there was a funeral a couple of days ago, and then my friend Jonathan got sick with the flu, so I pray that he get better so he can deal better with the loss of his dad, and he can be on his road to recovery himself.
Prayers for Jonathan. I'm going to come around the other way, Joe.
I would just ask for prayers for my friend Betty. She was like a mentor to me in high school during the years when mom was not cool. She is in the hospital. She's been in for a couple weeks now with some heart issues, and she's also had lupus for a really, really long time. So prayers for her and her family as I go through this.
Prayers for Betty.
Hi. Hart and I obviously have some joys becoming members of the church today, becoming parents in a matter of days or weeks. I also want to pray for my friend Marcy and her husband Caleb today. They've had 2 miscarriages, and she just called the other day to say she's 5 weeks pregnant. So prayers for a full-term, healthy pregnancy for Marcy and Caleb.
Prayers for Marcy and Caleb and Art and Elena in these exciting days.
We want to thank God that Miriam today with us here. And we thank God for all support that he gave us in the past and now and for the future.
Ah, what a joy to see Miriam in worship with us the first time, first Sunday in worship with us. They're always back and forth across the way here.
I'd like to ask prayers for my friend Francis, who just separated after a long, drawn-out end of a relationship, and also for my sister Amy, who has just decided to end her marriage.
Mm. Prayers for challenging ends of relationships.
Prayers for my friend Christy, who's in her 30s, and she's pregnant in her fifth month of pregnancy. And I pray that she has a smooth pregnancy, healthy, and a good delivery, with no problems.
For Christy.
Just prayers of joy for all of us who learned a new skill last night. We had a great time swing dancing.
Indeed. If you missed it, it was not to be missed. Thanks to Brian and Trevor for that leadership and that. Others. Meg. Can you pass it down to Meg?
Prayers for my dear friend Rachel, who is in the Peace Corps in South Africa right now, and she's really struggling with some anxiety and homesickness.
Prayers for Meg's friend Rachel.
Let's turn to our God in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, strong to save, we pray to you today. For all that has been, we give you thanks. For your wondrous workings in creation, for the beauty of the world and the changing of the seasons. We thank you for the gift of life itself, for our families, our spouses, and our friends. We give you thanks for the gift of love that we share and that we experience in so many ways. We pray to you, O Lord, this day for the many needs in our lives and in our world. We pray for the people of Japan on this one-year anniversary of a tsunami, for its memory, for the continued grieving of that nation and all who join hearts with them today. We pray for our country this day in a season of elections and big decisions being made, for our state, for our city. We pray this day, O God, for our public schools in particular, for the teachers and students. We pray for the gift of education and the life of the mind that you intend for each of us. We pray that you would lift up and renew our schools this day. Oh God, we do pray for particular needs in our lives, trusting that you are a God who hears prayer, answers prayer, blesses us beyond what we expect or deserve out of your grace and mercy. God, we lift up to you today, Rebecca, continuing with chemotherapy, for Rachel, struggling with anxiety, for Betty and her heart issues, for Letitia's mother, for Melinda, for Helen, for Terry. We pray for the Entendorea family and specifically for Pacific this day as he seeks a future that is different from his past. Place him in the right, on the right direction, and with the right people, we pray. Oh God, we pray this day for the joy of new life and the gift of births that we experience and hear tell about. Oh God, we pray for Marcy in this new pregnancy. As she and Caleb wait for a baby to be born, may it be a healthy one, smooth. Bring them the joy and the gift that they seek. We pray for Christy in her pregnancy, oh God. We pray for Art and Elena as they await their birth in just a few days. We give you thanks for the birth this week of Soren Oscar, for Micah and Rebecca, his parents, for the joy that we share even across many miles. We lift to you thanksgiving, O God, for the gift and miracle of baby Miriam Wadia here with us today. We pray that we would ever be reminded with sight and sound and touch of the ways that you bless us, that you enter our lives, that you come surprisingly and even unexpectedly to bring new joy, even in sorrow. God, we do pray for those who are in sorrow this day. Pray for those struggling in their relationships, spoken or unspoken. For Francis, for Amy. We pray that your comfort would surround them as they seek a new path forward in life. God, we do pray as well for Jonathan at the loss of a father. God, in all of these things, we put our trust in you, knowing that through joys or pains, you are with us. We give you thanks for the signs of new life in the new members who are joining with our church today. We pray for our church this morning, O God. We give you thanks for the life and love we experience here, for the ways that you call us to show and share the joy of following you with others who we meet, for the gift of worship and of music, of beauty, of praises lifted and sorrows comforted. We thank you for miracles great and small that we have experienced, for the ways that you have shown yourself to be faithful and true and merciful. We pray to you today for the ways that you will reveal yourself to us even more than we know, for our future, O God, known only in your eternal mind, but glimpsed and guessed by us. For all that has been, we give you thanks, and for all that will be, all that is yet to come in each of our lives and in our life together as your people, we lift you this prayer of thanks. Trusting in your goodness and your mercy and your love, we lift these prayers to you, O God, and we gather our hearts with the hearts and voices of believers in every time and place and around the world, who even this day are praying together and aloud the prayer your Son Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Morning. How are you? Come on up, have a seat. Lots of friends, come on up. Hi. How are you? It's good to see you. Sit right here where you can see. I'm going to show pictures, so Dad, you might have to come over here too. Right on over. I don't want anybody to miss. I have beautiful pictures to show you this morning. So I have one question that's easy to answer, especially if you can read, and another question that I thought was kind of hard. So are you ready for questions? Yes? Okay. So when somebody does something nice for you or something good happens to you, what do? Chrissy? You say thank you. You all can say thank you, right? Let's hear it. Oh, you're welcome. So in the psalm, I read something this week that made me wonder, and here's what it said. It said, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Now, when we're happy, we know how to say thank you, right? With our voices, with our words, but how does creation say thank you to God? Well, let's look and see. Somebody painted some pictures about it, and let's see what we can see here. First of all, tell me what that is. A girl painting something. And she's painting things with wings. So how do you think things with wings say thank you to God? Chrissy? They sing, but they also flap those wings. Do you see them flying? In their flying, they're saying thank you. How about, there's some more. All things small, with their wings they praise. What about these things? What are these things? Fish. And how do you think fish praise God?
Fish live by vibrating.
That's right. When they swim, they vibrate the water. Absolutely. As they dart around, they're saying thank you for those who praise God in the ways they swim. And what about these things? These are creepy crawlies. How do you suppose they praise God? Right, by slithering along, they make their joyous noise when crickets make that crickety sound, and when slimy worms go along, yep, and bugs, they whisper holy praises in silver trails. And what about these kinds of animals, wild animals? How do they thank God? Yeah? Some of them make loud noises that shake the air. They show their strength and might as they roar their thanksgiving. And what's she doing? She's pretending to be a lion. She's giving praise the way the animals do. Yeah. And what about things that are quiet? How do they say? Sometimes we thank God in our silence. And some things that God created say thank you just in the way that they are quiet once in a while. How about that? And one way that we can say thanks to God with all of creation is to say this word, and this is glory. Can you all say that? Glory. What I'd like you to do now is stand up and turn around and help these people who have been listening to say that with us. Jump up. Turn around. And can you all say glory?
Glory.
Let's say a prayer of thanksgiving. Gracious God, we give you thanks for all that you have given us. As part of your creation, we all say glory. Amen.
Children are released to their classes downstairs at this time. The middle school class is meeting upstairs in the couches room this morning. If you have a baby on a hip, the family room is also available upstairs.
This morning's Old Testament lesson is, of course, Psalm 100, which can be found in your pew Bibles on page 522. If you have a large print Bible, that's in page 679. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. And the New Testament lesson is Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. And that can be found on your pew Bibles on page 75 and large print Bibles on page 98. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Excuse me, sorry. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were 10 not made clean, but the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God to accept this foreigner?" Then they said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
should have read more closely about those leopards. It changes the sermon. We are traveling through prayers of the Bible as we journey through Lent this season. And last week, Pastor Dave reminded us that the ways that we pray are sometimes very narrow. He said our prayers sometimes sound something like, "Dear God, please, 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 amen." The gift of the Lord's Prayer teaches us that there isn't just one part of our praying, but that all of the forms that we are exploring in this season and this series can and should be part of our prayers. So I get the privilege this morning not to talk about leopards, but to turn to a new kind of prayer. Dear God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Will you pray with me? Open our hearts this day to your word alone. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In her article in the Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible, Elizabeth Octemeyer writes, "No motif more adequately reveals the nature of biblical faith than does gratitude or thanksgiving." The 13th century German philosopher Meister Eckhart said, "If the only prayer you say in your life is thank you, that would be enough." Now, last week we were dealing with prayers of confession, and I must confess to you all that when Dave and I were first talking about and thinking about this sermon series that we would be preaching through Lent, and I saw where I was on the preaching schedule with prayers of thanksgiving, I said, no. Let's change that date, because you see, that was the day that Dave told me he was leaving. I don't want to preach about thanksgiving. Give me intercession for other people, or give me even supplication to pray for myself. But what happened in the midst of that is a transformation. I was also determined not to preach the text that we were looking at specifically there. So I walked all the way through the Bible to find another text for prayers of thanksgiving, only to come back to the one that we were originally talking about. A few weeks later, I asked to change that back, and I've been reading through many parts of Scripture, seeing over and over again this overarching theme of thanksgiving, which speaks so strongly to the ways in which God seeks to be active in our lives and calls us forth through a period of praying, thanksgiving, and into new life. I hope to share that with you this morning. Blessing and thanksgiving, rejoicing in God's good gifts, are so often tied closely together in the biblical witness. There are 800 instances in the Bible, in both the Old and New Testament, where the people of faith are exhorted to rejoice in what God has done, and as we read in the psalm this morning, to remember and celebrate. The Hebrew language has 27 different words to express joy in God, rejoicing in community. Over and over in the Psalms, we read the same phrase, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for God's steadfast love endures forever." Israel thanked Yahweh because of God's faithfulness to that country, protection of the nation and individuals from enemies, deliverance of the needy from judgment and death, for covenant love, for life itself. We hear that echoed in our prayers on Sunday morning. Paul's letters are filled with thanksgiving for God's sustaining the ministry even in difficult times, and for the people who worked in ministry with him. Octemeyer says gratitude lay at the heart of biblical faith because it formed the only proper response to that which had happened in history, namely God's salvation, God's healing of God's people, in the promise of what God can still do even as we see in a mirror dimly. We see that in our text today. We see that in the one in 10. Yet here too, there is still a little bit of pleas in the story. The 10 lepers lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us." The lepers approached Jesus. They knew that Jesus could help them, and they sought his assistance in that healing. We know from our study of the history that lepers lived outside the community. They were branded unclean by the religion. They had to live apart. They had to keep their distance as they saw Jesus. Yet in this moment, there was something that emboldened them to seek healing from Jesus, a touch of divine grace. And Jesus did not disappoint those leopards. He told the 10 to go and show yourselves to the priests, to trust in the healing power that would be theirs. And the 10 went on their way to be pronounced clean through that rigorous Jewish process and to live again with families and friends. The first step of Thanksgiving prayer then starts in recognizing that we have a God who is intimately known to us, who has reached down to earth, who has walked this earth to bring healing and life to our lives and those around us. It is daring to trust that God in the midst of us, remembering and reaching for that. And yet, only one of 10 of them responds in thanksgiving. But what a response! When he realized he was healed, he turned around and came back, according to Eugene Peterson, shouting his gratitude, glorifying God. He kneeled at Jesus' feet so grateful. He couldn't thank him enough. And he was outside of the faith. He was a Samaritan. Not just token thanksgiving, but exuberance, shouting his thanks. Kneeling at Jesus' feet, so grateful, and not the one who could be expected to bring thanks, one outside of that community, one in 10. Look carefully at Jesus' response in this text. Where are the others? Were none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And then a blessing to this one. Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. Let's try to put ourselves for a moment in the lives of the 9 who were healed, those who did not return to give thanks. How can we understand their response, and where would you find yourself in the story? Maybe some of them were so simply overcome with joy that they ran to see their family and friends, to see people and do things that they hadn't been able to do in a number of years. Swept up in this new freedom, this healing, maybe they simply forgot their gratitude and were overcome by joy. Or maybe they were too afraid to be thankful. This new place of being was just too scary. And they were used to the old place. Even though it was diseased, it was familiar. As bad as their outcast status had been, it wasn't nearly as frightening as having to be responsible, to be citizens of whom much was expected. So maybe their gratitude was overcome by fear. All of a sudden, they found themselves in a new life, which they had no idea how to live. As a pastor, I've seen people accustomed to a life of pain or trauma or addiction, totally at loose ends when the pain is lifted and they are healed. They need to learn a new way of life and to thrive where that kind of pain that they have lived with is not at the center of their lives. One who most definitely didn't live that way was Helen Keller, an amazing woman of faith and courage who once wrote, "Now, Helen Keller might have led a fearful life, cut off by people by her deafness and blindness, but instead she wrote, 'For three things I thank God every day of my life. Thanks that he has given me knowledge of his works. Deep thanks that he has set in my darkness the lamp of faith. Deep, deepest thanks that I have another life to look forward to, a life joyous with light and flowers and heavenly song.'" Maybe some of these lepers were bitter about the healing. Instead of being thankful for what they were given, they were bitter about what had been lost to them for all those years. Perhaps they thought they should have been healed sooner. Maybe their healed status made them ask all the more strongly, "Why me? Why did leprosy have to be? And why did it have to claim me?" Perhaps their new freedom gave them new eyes to see not only what was ahead, but what they had missed for a long time. Maybe they figured they'd done their time and they didn't want to waste another minute of it. Where do you find yourself in this story? Can you be one in the 10 who returns to give thanks for and with your life? Gratitude cannot be commanded, but must spring spontaneously from the heart, Achtermeyer writes, as it did in the case of the Samaritan who returned to Jesus to give thanks. Yet gratitude can also be practiced. We too can be one in the 10 and encourage others to do likewise, because thanksgiving and prayers of thanksgiving are a call to faith, a call to recognize what God has done, what God wants to still do, to receive the benefit of those actions, to nurture such benefits in the soul, and to witness to them in the world. I've been holding on lately to the quote of the week in my yoga class that appeared several weeks ago, which is, "That which we focus on gets bigger." That which we focus on gets bigger. What are we focusing on? When we focus on the positive and the strength, they get bigger. And seeing those blessings energize us to address the more difficult parts of our life, which are inevitable, and to see perhaps even more clearly what we are focusing on. This week, my parents and my sisters went to Arizona all together on one plane. And I'm going to tell a story on my father because it tells you what I grew up with. My father called me at noon on Thursday, and I was working on my sermon. I think it was Wednesday because they were leaving Wednesday night. I was working on my sermon, and he said, in the inevitable, or not in the inevitable, in the event that the plane goes down with all of us, this is where you will find all of the pertinent documents, in the top level of the file cabinet. And he went on with a list of about 10 things that I must know when and if the plane were to go down. And then as a sidebar, he said, "And I think you probably are going to want to call your niece because she's going to be hurting too." Well, the plane didn't go down. They're home safely. But that which we focus on gets bigger. Like the one leper who returned to give thanks, grace and gratitude lead to our response to share the good news in the gospel in all that we are and all that we have, to go on our way in faith as Jesus commands here, to look for those places in life where coincidences happen. Last Thursday at session, we were preparing to meet with the new members that we will receive in worship today. Now, you know that usually we receive new members on Easter Sunday. However, Art and Elena Johnson are about to have their first child sometime between now, having seen them walk into this sanctuary, and maybe March 26th, but certainly, hopefully, they all say, by Easter. So, as we talked about how we would work that, it seemed right to be able to offer prayers of thanksgiving and receive these new members this day in session. And that same night, we were led in our devotions to think about the things that we are thankful for by our elder sharing that day. In sharing, we could strengthen one another, and we were reminded of the myriad of ways in which God has been at work in our midst, even in a time of real loss. And everyone shared around that table. Now, the elder who brought that devotion had no idea that we were going to be preaching about prayers of thanksgiving this Sunday. Coincidence? Or God at work in continuing and mysterious ways? In the months and weeks to come, the days to come, in our own lives, in our community, in our world, will we have the eyes to see that God at work? Are we looking and listening for those signs here in the community and into the world around us? And are we seeking this Lent to be encouraged by the witness of Scripture as we seek to grow in faith? May we gather together, talk with one another, pray with one another, listen to one another, support each other to see the blessings in our midst, the ways in which God continues to work and to lead, and let us, in that, be one of the 10 in a world looking for hope and grace. Be thankful as we go forth in faith. Amen.
Please rise and join with me in reciting the responsive affirmation of faith. I will read the first stanza, and then you will respond with the stanzas in italics. God promises to reign among us and guide us. God's rule in our midst will not be shaken.
We will worship God in our daily pursuit.
God's freeing, uplifting presence is ever with us. God's transforming power is working among us. We rejoice at the wonderful things God is doing. The word of God empowers us to speak and act. God is sending us to people who need our help.
We will not be afraid to speak of God's love. We will dare to act as God directs.
Amen.
We would like to call forward our new members to join us up here as we gather together in faith.
Art, Elena, Jake, and Matt, Jade and Matt, I'm sorry, have been received by the session into the membership of the church, and you are here to declare your faith and be joined with us in the congregation in the service of Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ has chosen you and in baptism has joined you to himself. As a member of the one holy, universal, and apostolic church, you do not come to us as strangers, but as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now that he has brought you to this time and place, you may confess his name before these sisters and brothers to serve as faithful disciples in the life of this congregation alongside us.
Please show your intention by answering these questions. Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ. Do you trust in him?
I
You intend to be his disciple, to obey his word, and to show his love.
Do you promise to be faithful members of this congregation, giving of yourself in every way, and so fulfill your calling as a disciple of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior?
Do we, as members of this church, promise to welcome and involve these new members, share our faith and ministry together, so that we may grow as disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ? If so, say we do.
We do.
Let us pray. Gracious and ever-loving God, we praise you for calling us to be a servant people and for gathering us together into the body of Christ. We thank you for the gifts of those you have brought to this congregation and those who are reaffirming their faith in you this morning. May we live and love in your spirit today. Together, may we live in your spirit and so love one another that we have in us the mind that was in Jesus Christ, to whom all glory and honor may be now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Art, Elena, Jade, and Matt, you are disciples of Jesus Christ. You have been on this journey for a while. Live in his love and serve him, and let the message of Christ dwell richly within you. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God through him. Welcome to this ministry of Jesus Christ here in this place and to the ends of the earth.
Now let us show our gratitude to God by presenting our gifts and offerings. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, for whom comes all that is good, we praise you for your mercies, for your goodness that has created us, your grace that has sustained us, your discipline that has corrected us, your patience that has borne with us, and your love that has redeemed us. Help us to love you and to be thankful for all your gifts by serving you and delighting to do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our closing hymn is number 371, Lift High the Cross. As we continue this Lenten journey together, let us sing forth. Let us go forth in faith that the love that we have been shown through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is ever with us, that the creative power of our Creator God goes with us, and the sustaining Spirit binds us together and emboldens us to step forth in faith, now and forever. Amen.